Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. May they rest in peace.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, children, is the feast day of an ancient Roman martyr whose relics were found during the Renaissance under the reign of Pope Urban VIII, and her name is Saint Martina, Virgin and Martyr, and the old temple of the pagan god Mars in the Roman Forum was changed into a church in her honor. And today, of course, we sing our monthly Requiem Mass. I know we already had 3 Requiem Masses. You're becoming quite the experts at praying and singing for the poor souls, but someone has to do it. It's a very important thing. I thought I would tell you today about one of the other saints. Since we were talking about nuns yesterday and sisters, a nun is technically a sister, a member of a proper religious order who is cloistered, or she stays in her monastery. Well, I thought I would tell you about Saint Hyacinth Mariscotti today. She's an interesting saint. She started out being very, very far from a saint, but as we'll see, she became one. Remember how Leonie, sister Saint Teresa's older sister, was a little bit on the slow side, and she was sickly, and she wasn't like the other Martin girls, and sometimes they didn't understand her, even her parents didn't, and I think she had a rather sad time growing up. But then eventually she did grow up, and after trying 4 times, because God is very patient with us and we must be patient with ourselves, after trying 4 times, she finally was able to stay in the Visitation Convent, and she became a Visitation Sister. Well, St. Hyacinth Mariscotti had a sister too, a younger sister. They were of the nobility, very wealthy, aristocratic people who lived in the 16th century Italy. And one day, much to her disgust, she found out that her younger sister was going to get married before her. Back then, remember, your parents arranged your marriage, so it was not something that you sort of took care of on your own. Your parents did that for you. That's how it was done. Well, her parents arranged for her younger sister to get married to a nobleman and not for her. She got upset. And then pretty soon she started, can you believe it? I'm sure none of you do this. She started pouting and making faces and not talking at the table and things like that. And then slamming doors and making rude comments. Well, this very childlike behavior, she was already growing up, did not come to an end. It just continued and continued day after day and finally month after month. Finally, her parents had just about enough, and because Hyacinth was a very strong-willed young lady, she wouldn't bend her will and obey her father and behave herself and make life easier on everyone else in the family. Sometimes it just takes one to make life hard in the home, doesn't it? Well, because of that, her father decided to send her off to the nunnery. She had gone to the Franciscan sisters for her education, and her father, not knowing what else to do with her, just sent her back to become a nun. The thing of it is that she didn't have a vocation. She didn't think to become a nun. But then again, she didn't want to live at home, and she thought she could have maybe more independence as a nun because she was a wealthy noblewoman, and she would have money at her disposal still, even though she wasn't really supposed to on account of being a Franciscan sister and the vow of poverty. So she told everybody, I'm not here of my own will, I don't want to be here, and I'm not going to make life easy for anybody. In other words, she tried the same tricks all over again. Well, she stayed in her room mostly, and she furnished her room luxuriously, even though nuns are supposed to have a very bare penitential cell, it's called. And she got wall-to-wall carpeting and an extremely comfortable couch, and she probably put in a little refrigerator and one of those big TV sets, and just about anything and everything she could think of to make her life as sweet as possible. And she hardly ever went to church or to prayers, but because she was from the nobility, nobody dared say too very much. But all of the sisters were scandalized at the way she didn't follow the holy rule of St. Francis of Assisi. Well, one day she was sick, not very sick, just a little sick, and the priest that was the chaplain came to give her confession and communion. And when he went into her cell and he saw what she had done, he was scandalized. And he said, "Sister, you better start thinking about things. If you died in this state, why, you've committed so many mortal sins against your vows, I don't see how you could ever go to heaven." Well, that did get her thinking, because she didn't want to go to hell, after all. Nobody would, not if you were thinking about it. And so she reformed, and she got rid of the couch and the TV set and the refrigerator and all of those things, and pretty soon had a pretty much of a penitential cell. But then, this is what happens. If we reform, we try to change, and we don't think and pray it through, and we don't get enough help from God, pretty soon she got to missing the couch, and she thought, it's awfully hard to sit on a bare chair. And she didn't like the cold floor, and she did get hungry between meals and still wanted to have a little something to eat. And pretty soon, one thing after another made its way back again into her cell. Although I think that by this time, she had stopped being quite so disagreeable to others. She was more of a pleasant sister now, at least. Well, that went on for a while. As St. Francis de Sales told us yesterday, children, Almighty God is very patient with us. And sometimes he has to wait for us for a long time. Well, the next thing that happened was that she got very sick indeed, and she almost died, and she knew it. And she thought of the words of the priest, "Sister, if you were to die like this, you would go to hell because you've broken your rule so many times. No one forced you to take your vows, but now you must keep the vows that you have made." Well, this time, she got the other sisters to pray for her, and she started doing good spiritual reading, such as we want to resolve to do during the coming Lenten season. And she started to go to church and say her prayers and did everything. And so this time, when she reformed, she kept it. And she not only didn't go to hell, but she decided instead to become a saint. And she became a very holy nun, and other people would write to her and ask for her advice. And she was very kind to the poor, always giving things to them, and usually she would beg so that the poor and the sick would have everything that they needed. And that way, she was able to fulfill her Franciscan vows in a wonderful way, and led a very holy life till she died at the age of 55. One time, she wrote about the sort of people whom she liked. She said, "The ones that appeal to me are those who are despised, who are free of self-love, and who have little tangible," that means something you could feel, "who have little tangible consolation. To suffer and to persevere bravely in spite of the lack of all sweetness and rewards in prayer, this is the sign of the Spirit of God." Well, of course, that's the suffering that many saints went through, including Saint Teresa. But if you think of it, that's also, children, that's also a good description of the poor souls in purgatory. They are despised, but they have no self-love, and they have very little in the way of consolation, except that sometimes maybe Our Lady might visit them or Our Lord might make their sufferings a little bit easier. To suffer and to persevere bravely in the face of all a lack of all sweetness, well, that's a sign of the Spirit of God. The souls in purgatory, we remember, children, are very holy indeed. They love our Lord. They know that they need to be purified, and they're persevering all of the time. They're never, ever giving up. You and I, who have so much, don't we? Our Lord makes our life very comfortable for us, and we have wonderful families to live with, and we have plenty to eat every day and to keep warm and all of the rest. We should think of the souls that are needy, especially the ones that nobody thinks of, the poor souls in purgatory. So let's do that for them today by offering a beautiful holy mass for their repose, and let's remember to pray for them, especially during the coming season of Lent. Maybe some of the sacrifices that you make, you might be able to give for mass for the poor souls. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.